So, how do you understand the prostitutes even in Dwarka? And now there are three different things going on over there. The first is that the Bhakti literature is very specific or very unabashed in describing the inclusiveness of Bhakti. That means anybody from any background can practice Bhakti. That inclusiveness is there. Now, there is that verse that even those who are lowborn, 9.33 in the Bhagavad, 9.32 in the Bhagavad Gita, that even those who are lowborn, Vaishya, Shudra, even they can practice Bhakti. Kirat, Mahan, Rapulinda, Pulakasha. All kinds of people from all backgrounds can practice Bhakti. So, the inclusiveness of Bhakti is often unabashedly talked about in the Bhakti literature. And if you see the mood of that particular section, when Krishna is coming, and Krishna is coming to Dwarka after a long time, everyone is attracted to him. And Prabhupada says that, you know, one can even, in the purport, one can even be a prostitute, but if one is a devotee of the Lord, that is the important thing. So this means that the devotion is so inclusive that nobody is left out. That is the important thing that is stressed over there. We should, whenever scripture speaks something, we have to focus on what where scripture is focusing. Otherwise, we may miss out on the main point that is being made. The main point is that actually bhakti is so inclusive that even people who have a profession that is normally considered to be degraded, even they can practice bhakti. And this is how all attractive Krishna is, this is how accommodating bhakti is. That's the thrust. If you see, the point of that section is not to give a description of the social cross-section of any particular place. The Bhagavad Gita is a spiritual book. While conveying that spiritual thrust, there is this description also that is given. So the thrust is on how everyone was attracted to Krishna. Even prostitutes are attracted to Krishna. So, having said that first point, the second point to understand is that the word prostitute itself can have many different meanings. So, sometimes a woman who does not have a husband, she may be some, or she is not under the shelter of her husband. Sometimes, say, women who were artists in the sense that they would dance in public during the celebrations, during festivals. You know, it would not be that culture women would do that. There would be women who would do that. So in the Vedic culture, there were women who were called Devidasis. Devidasis, now some of the people, some of them, in the westernized media, they're depicted as prostitutes and said that temples were like places where all these Devidasis were there, and it was a place of prostitution. That's completely wrong. There were some women who would want to be completely devoted to God. And then they would come to the temple and they would dance for the pleasure of the Lord. And they would be devoted to the Lord. So now they were, by some people, because they were not under the protection of some man, they would be called as prostitutes. That's specifically about women who are devoted to God. But also other, there were artists. So the word prostitute can have many different meanings. It does not necessarily have to mean a woman who trades her body for money. So specifically, what that verse means, you know, that particular word means, there can be different meanings of that. Thirdly, even if we say that actually the prostitutes refer to women who were doing a business with their bodies, still the point remains that even in a place like Dwarka, this is Dwarka, isn't it a place where Krishna is there, and there are all pure devotees there? Yes, there are pure devotees, but when the spiritual manifests at the material level, then there is always a complex interaction that happens. The spiritual manifests at the material level, then in the ultimate sense, it's all a leela of the Lord. But in intermediate sense, sometimes there are some things which are right, some things which are wrong. It's like Dwarkas, they are pure devotees of Krishna. But at the same time, they all got into a drunken brawl and they fought with each other and they killed each other. That's how the whole thing ends over there. So there is a deeper explanation for that. Actually, Krishna wanted things to end in that way so that he could delude the demons. That is called as Asura Mohan Leela. So to delude the demons, Krishna sometimes acts in such a way which can lead people to conclude, to come to counter devotional conclusions. But the important thing is that in the ultimate sense, everything that happens in the Lord's immediate circle, that is transcendental. But in the immediate sense, there can be right or wrong. Yudhishthira's gambling Draupadi, that's wrong. But then through Yudhishthira's gambling Draupadi, the pastime of Krishna coming to the rescue of his devotees, that is an act. So his decision from a moral point of view is wrong. He should not have stayed with his wife. But then from the ultimate perspective, is Krishna orchestrated it all so that he could demonstrate a lesson? So like that, it may well be like we say at one level, the devotees in Ayodhya, the people of Ayodhya Vasi, it's described initially in the Ramayana, that they were so heartbroken when Ram left. They were all wanted to come out with Ram. And Ram had to actually trick them. At night when they were sleeping, Ram woke up early in the morning and he left in the chariot. That's how otherwise they would all have come with him before. They were so devoted to him that they were ready to take up with Ram the sentence of exile. But then yet, some of those, they ended up criticizing Sita. And they were criticizing because it was so much that Ram had to be separated from Sita. So, you know, when we have the Lord resides in this world, in a particular place, in a particular context, it's not necessary that everybody in that setting will be acting devotionally. So, so everybody will not be acting devotionally means that there is a dharmic, there is the principle of dharma, but the principles of dharma also vary for different people. Now for the kings especially, no, they are expected to be subordinate to sages. That is the principal activity of dharma for them. But along with that, they have royal opulence. They often had polygamy. They had many queens with them, and sometimes they might unite with their maid servants also. But the idea was they would take responsibility. They would maintain that. And Dhritarashtra, he got Vidura when Gandhari was pregnant for a long time. He got Vidura through a maidservant. But then that maidservant was also maintained. So the perimeter of dharma. Dharma is a principle which regulates. But the circumference of what comprises dharma, that varies for different people. So that varies for different people means the principles of dharma at a material level for Brahmanas are different from that for Kshatriyas. And they are different from that for Shudras. So actually Prabhupada says that at one level, there are people who are going to have who have excessive sensual desires. And for such people, within the, now they, rather than they contaminate society, the culture of human society, there's a facility provided for them. So that means that the principle of dharma is not monolithic. It's like concentric circles. If you cannot fit at this level, you fit at this level. If you cannot fit at this level, fit at this level. But stay within some kind of regulation. So that way, if at all we are to argue that the word prostitute there refers to women who were engaged in prostitution, then also we understand that this could have been a part of the Lord's plan. Because when the Lord descends in this world, not all his associates all the time act in the mode of transcendental devotion. The Lord will be demonstrating how the principles of that there may be people who are devoted to the Lord, but still that devotion doesn't necessarily lead to renunciation. There is devotion, The devotion is not necessarily immediately lead to detachment in this that way like that. So even those people are accommodated. Many of the kings, they would be dharmic, but they would, that the dharma doesn't mean that they would be able to live life like monastics. They would be living in an opulent way. And as long as they had an intention for devotion, as long as they were doing the duty of protecting dharma, they had the different degrees of license within which they could work. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you.